Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Adi Leela, Chapter 1, Text 35. Mantra Guru Ajato Shikha Guru Gon Taha Charana Age Koriye Bondan. I first offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of my initiating spiritual master and all my instructing spiritual masters. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his thesis Bhakti Shandarbha, 202, has stated that uncontaminated devotional service is the object of pure Vaishnavas and that one has to execute such service in the association of other devotees. By associating with devotees of Lord Krishna, one develops a sense of Krishna consciousness and thus becomes inclined toward the loving service of the Lord. This is the process of approaching the Supreme Lord by gradual appreciation in devotional service. If one desires unalloyed devotional service, one must associate with devotees of Sri Krishna, for by such association only can a conditioned soul achieve a taste for transcendental love and thus revive his eternal relationship with Godhead in a specific manifestation and in terms of the specific mellow rasa that one has eternally inherent in him. If one develops love for Krishna by Krishna conscious activities, one can know the Supreme Absolute Truth, but he who tries to understand God simply by logical arguments will not succeed, nor will he get a taste for unalloyed devotion. The secret is that one must submissively listen to those who know perfectly the science of God, and one must begin the mode of service regulated by the preceptor. A devotee already attracted by the name, form, qualities of the Supreme Lord may be directed to his specific manner of devotional service. He need not waste time in approaching the Lord through logic. The expert spiritual master knows well how to engage his disciples' energy in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, and thus he engages a devotee in a specific devotional service according to his special tendency. A devotee must have only one spiritual master because in the scriptures acceptance of more than one is always forbidden. There is no limit, however, to the number of instructing spiritual masters one may accept. Generally, a spiritual master who constantly instructs a disciple in spiritual science becomes his initiating spiritual master later on. One should always remember that a person who is reluctant to accept a spiritual master and be initiated is sure to be baffled in his endeavor to go back to Godhead. One who is not properly initiated may present himself as a great devotee, but in fact he is sure to encounter many stumbling blocks on his path of progress towards spiritual realization, with the result that he must continue his term of material existence without relief. Such a helpless person is compared to a ship without a rudder, for such a ship can never reach its destination. It is imperative, therefore, that one accept a spiritual master if he at all desires to gain the favor of the Lord. The service of the spiritual master is essential. If there is no chance to serve the spiritual master directly, a devotee should serve him by remembering his instructions. There is no difference between the spiritual master's instruction and the spiritual master himself. In his absence, therefore, his words of direction should be the pride of the disciple. If one thinks that he is above consulting anyone else, including a spiritual master, he is at once an offender at the lotus feet of the Lord. Such an offender can never go back to Godhead. It is imperative that a serious person accept a bona fide spiritual master in terms of the Shastric injunctions. Srila Jiva Goswami advises that one not accept a spiritual master in terms of hereditary or customary social and ecclesiastical conventions. One should simply try to find a genuinely qualified spiritual master for actual advancement in spiritual understanding. Mantra Guru ar joto shikha guru gon taha charana age koriye bondon. I first offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of my initiating spiritual master and all my instructing spiritual masters. This is a theme that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami repeats throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, that of the mercy of the devotees and of the gurus. He concludes most chapters with the words, Shri Rupa Raghunatha Pade. Shri Rupa Raghunatha Pade. What is it? I forgot it. Koriye Smaron. Hoibe Mora Ash. Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das. Shri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Rahe Mora Ash. Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das. That always remembering the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath, I, Krishna Das, narrate this Chaitanya Charitamrita. Clearly, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, from his composition of Chaitanya Charitamrita, as also his Govinda Lilamrita, it is clear that he is a devotee on the topmost platform of devotional service, and that he's highly learned in Shastra. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, he quotes extensively from various Shastras to demonstrate various points, and especially from Srimad Bhagavatam. But nevertheless, he considers that everything he is doing is only by the mercy of Madan Mohan, Krishna, manifested, the deity of Madan Mohan, manifested, Madan Gopal, manifested through his gurus. Who exactly is his initiating guru, his mantra guru as mentioned here, is not known. He particularly had the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, who appeared to him in a dream and told him to go to Vrindavan. Jaho Vrindavan Tahar Tomar Sharva Labbahoy, where everything that is to be gained, you will gain there in Vrindavan. So he opens up the very first words of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vande Gurun. He offers obeisances to the gurus. So he puts much emphasis on the gurus. The very first philosophical section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, this verse is taken from that, discusses the role of the guru, particularly the guru as a giver of knowledge of Krishna and the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada, in his purport here, echoing the purport of his own guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to this verse, he states that one should always remember that a person who is reluctant to accept a spiritual master and be initiated is sure to be baffled in his endeavor to go back to Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has famously preached, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nas, Jeva Nas, Jeva Nas, Jeva Gati Aranyata. That in this Kali Yuga there is no way, no way, no way to achieve perfection but to chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name of Lord Sri Hari. However, that doesn't mean that one should not accept a guru. One should accept a guru also. Without accepting a guru and being initiated, one is sure to be baffled. In other words, you can't get back to Godhead, as being stated here. You continue as a helpless person. So this is required, as one lady mentioned to me this morning. She and her husband had come to see me, discussing their desire to prepare themselves for initiation. And she said that Without a guru, you can do your chanting and your devotional service, but you need someone to help you along the way. And life is very difficult to practice Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada often said it's very easy to practice. The basics are easy, but how to apply it always and how to face Maya's tests in this crazy world, it's not always apparent. So we need guru, and as Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami always emphasizes, we need gurus, Vande Gurun. We offer obeisance to the guru. So today, just now, actually this lecture is the beginning of an initiation ceremony in which Somesh, who is sitting here, is going to be initiated. He's been waiting a long time. How many years, approximately? 14 years. Quite a long time, yeah. It's quite a, within our short lives, it's quite a long time. He's been waiting for that. I was also, had my first initiation on Janmashtami 39 years ago. So I always consider this my birthday, my real birthday. I've had many, many births, but my real birth was with Srila Prabhupada as my father and the Vedic knowledge as mother. So at an initiation ceremony, Srila Prabhupada would always have, either he would lecture or would have one of his disciples lecture on the meaning of initiation and the role of the guru and the disciple. It's a huge topic. We can't cover it all the aspects just now, but we can go through some of them. It's a very deep topic. Srila Jiva Goswami states that both Guru Tattva and Shiva Tattva, of course Shiva is also a guru, they're both very difficult to understand because they're both to be considered as God and as a devotee, both. As good as God and as a devotee. So it's difficult to understand. Nevertheless, we should make some endeavor to do so, as we have learned from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada would also have a lecture on the 10 offenses against the holy name, because anyone can chant the holy name and everyone is encouraged to, but taking initiation means to become very serious about attaining Krishna prema, pure love of Krishna. That will be attained very efficaciously by chanting the names of Krishna without offenses. That is stated in here in Chaitanya Charitamrita that bhajane madde sreshta navavidha bhakti krishna krishna prema dite dhare mahashakti, that all the 9 processes of devotional service they are the best ways of performing devotional service, and they all bestow Krishna. They give us Krishna and Krishna prema. They all have great potency to do that. Tarmadhe sarva sreshta nama sankirtan. Among all the 9 processes of devotional service, the best is nama sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Niraparadhe nama loile pai premadhan. If one chants the holy name of Krishna without offenses, one will achieve the treasure of love of Krishna. So anyone can chant, but if one wants to learn the science of Krishna, Bhagavat Tattva Vigyan, Mukta Sangasya Jayate, the science of Krishna by which one becomes free from the material condition, then one should learn from the guru. So the guru may be seen as, and may present himself as, a guide who teaches and helps, a friend to help along the way, an educator, but the Shastra states that the Guru should be seen as identical with God and capable of bestowing liberation and love of Krishna on his disciples. So, from Srila Prabhupada's books, some of the most important qualifications. When we say Srila Prabhupada's books, we mean it's not something that Srila Prabhupada just invented himself. He always stressed that he is presenting everything in accord with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So when we say Srila Prabhupada's books, we mean the essence of all knowledge given by Krishna and handed down to the present day and presented for our understanding in simple English by Srila Prabhupada. So the most important qualifications for assuming the service of being a guru, it is a service. It's not that the guru thinks, I am God and everyone is here to serve me, but rather he thinks, I am a servant of Krishna, and on the order of my guru, I have to guide others so that they can also serve Krishna. So the most important qualifications for assuming the role of a guru is that one must follow strictly the principle of guru-shishya parampara, the succession of gurus and disciples. And this also, of course, is based on Shastra. There's guru, sadhu, and Shastra. Shastra means the knowledge, scripture given by Krishna. Sadhu means those who follow that, and guru is one's particular instructor. So the guru himself must follow his own guru. It's not enough to be initiated in a parampara to be in a parampara. That is required, but one must actually teach according to the parampara. There are so many deviant sects of Vaishnavism, and many of them will say that, well, we're in the parampara from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they'll give a line, but someone at some point, or more than one at various points, have tweaked the teaching. So it's not exactly in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one must be in the parampara by initiation and by diksha and by shiksha. One should teach as the previous acharyas have taught. Another qualification is the spiritual master must have spiritual knowledge, which particularly means that he's learned in the Vedic literature. He's heard from his own guru. Shabde pare cha nishnatam. One should be, the guru is supposed to be deeply versed and absorbed in the Vedic sound. And brahmanyu pashamashrayam. And he should have taken full shelter of Krishna by the disciplic succession. So he should be learned. Otherwise he can't teach. So many doubts may arise in the mind of the disciple, and the guru should be sufficiently learned to dispel those doubts. It doesn't mean that the guru knows everything, because only Krishna knows everything, but he should know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and if there's some details, some technical details he doesn't know, then he can refer the disciple to someone else, or he can research it himself by searching in the scriptures. But it is the duty of one who is instructing others to learn, to study, so that he can instruct and resolve the doubts of the disciple. The spiritual master must be able to free his disciples from material bondage, from birth and death, and lead them back to Godhead. And he must teach by example. Achinoti yashastrani, achare sthapyatyapi, swayam acharite yasmad, acharyaste na kirtite. That's the verse that... the guru should, or the acharya is one who lives according to Shastra and teaches what is in Shastra and exemplifies that in his own life. So we can go through these principles in some more detail. The principle of parampara is of utmost importance. One cannot claim to be a guru just because, well, I was walking along the road one day and I had a flash in my mind and then I understood I'm a guru, or worse, I'm God. One must hear and follow one who is himself hearing and following in the disciplic succession. Srila Prabhupada, he gave a lecture at Uppsala University in Sweden in 1973, in which he spoke on the qualifications of a guru by explaining the 8 verses of Sri Gur Vashtakam, which we read every day. Please come inside, otherwise you're going to block the doorway. Better come in a bit more, away from the ladies. Please sit on this side. So in that lecture, in pursuance of the first verse of Sri Gur Vashtaka, this which we sing daily, early morning, Srila Prabhupada compared the guru to a cloud. Krishna is the ocean of mercy. Krishna is the ocean of knowledge. Krishna is the ocean of everything auspicious. Kalyana Gunarnava. Krishna is the ocean of all auspicious qualities. And the guru is compared to a cloud who takes water from that ocean and sprinkles it on others. So when we say his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, that means that he has grace, he has mercy. It's not exactly his own, because no one is independent of Krishna. He receives mercy from Krishna and sprinkles it on others. That he sprinkles it on others, you can say that is his mercy. But the potency to liberate others actually comes from Krishna. All potency comes from Krishna, but the guru acts as a conduit of that mercy. Another example Srila Prabhupada often gave is that of a mailman or a delivery boy, or a messenger who is entrusted, that you take this, the messenger is entrusted, you take this money, here is 100,000 euros cash, you deliver it to such and such a place. So he delivers it. In other words, he doesn't steal anything, or he doesn't claim that I'm giving this money to you, but he delivers intact without changing. So the principle of parampara is we hear and we give the same thing. Now, the style of delivery may vary from one guru to another. Srila Prabhupada's method of teaching Krishna consciousness, his language was very different to that of his own guru. His own guru's linguistic style was legendarily difficult. And that of Srila Prabhupada was astonishingly simple. Astonishingly, inasmuch as Srila Prabhupada delivered these arcane truths of the absolute reality to people who had no background of understanding that, and made it quite understandable because he delivered it in simple English language. That was a great mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada said in this lecture that a genuine spiritual master will never say, I am God, I can give you mercy. A genuine spiritual master, on the other hand, will say, I am a servant of God, I have brought you his mercy. The first qualification of a guru is therefore that he delivers one a message that genuinely originates from God. And since everyone in this material world is suffering, this message will stop the blazing fire of anxiety in the heart. So these are two analogies, that of the cloud which extinguishes the blazing fire of anxiety in the heart. Everyone's heart is burning with anxiety, lust, greed, anger, envy. That is put out by the soothing knowledge of Krishna and soothing experience of Krishna. From this we understand that although from the disciple's perspective the guru is to be considered as good as God, he's as good as God because he's a messenger of God. In other words, just like that 100,000 euros, it's coming from the source and it's delivered by a person. So the mercy is coming from Krishna, the message is coming from Krishna, but the guru delivers that message intact, without changing. So in that way, he's as good as God, because he delivers the same message. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and a bona fide guru gives the same message. So in that way, as good as God. But he's not absolute in the sense that Krishna himself is absolute. He's not, although he's to be considered as good as God, it's not to be considered God himself. You may wonder why we're even discussing this. Well, in India or among Hindus, it's common to think that the guru himself is directly God. But that, although it might be a nice sentiment, it is a very serious misunderstanding, and often leads to gross abuse of the position of guru. Should be understood that the guru presents himself as a servant who is guiding others how to serve Krishna, as a representative of God. So the guru teaches, as Krishna teaches, mamayvangsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatanaha. Every living being is eternally a part and parcel of Krishna. So that includes the guru himself. This boy should sit properly, not show his legs in front of the deity. This, the mother is the first guru, so the mother can teach this also. In the temple, you have to behave properly. That should be taught from childhood. But the guru should be seen not just, well, just one of us, but seen as a special representative of Krishna, because he's delivering the message of Krishna without adulteration. And that message of Krishna is in Shastra. And a Vaishnava has the role of being a guru because he exemplifies what is stated in Shastra, and exemplifies how the teachings of Shastra have been taught and practiced by previous acharyas. So this is the Guru Sadhu Shastra. The Guru himself is accountable to Shastra and Sadhu. So if one is a guru and he says, actually, Krishna's God and Shiva's God and Brahma is God and I am God and you are God, then we'll have to say, wait a minute, that's not a guru. You can't be a guru and teach that. That's against the principles of Shastra. Or if the guru says, we're practicing Krishna consciousness so many years, I think we should take, after all these years, I deserve one day's holiday. So in this one day, I'm going to smoke and drink alcohol and do so many other things. It's only for one day. But we'll see that not only is that against Shastra, but no acharya prior to this had ever mooted such an idea, and so that is against the principle not only of Shastra, but of the previous sadhus. And such a person, if even for one day breaks these rules, he cannot be considered an acharya. If someone has a slip, he may continue to be considered a Vaishnava. If just by, without pre-contemplating it, if someone slips into Maya, he can come back and be a devotee. Krishna allows that. Apichet sutara acharo bhajate mamananya bhak. Sadhur eva samantavyaha. But such a person may not be considered very fit to act as a guide, as a guru. So, guru, sadhu, and shastra. The guru is, he follows shastra and sadhu, and any statement regarding Krishna consciousness, or should be, or any mode of behavior should be judged according to these three principles. The center of these three principles, guru, sadhu, and shastra, is shastra. That is the message of God. A guru is a guru because he delivers the message of shastra. As Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport prior to the one that I just read, the purport to the verse prior to the one that I just read, Srila Prabhupada writes, he says that a guru is anyone who gives instruction on the basis of revealed scriptures. Please come inside and sit here. Maybe you could, anyone else who comes, you can direct them like that also. So Srila Prabhupada always emphasized this, that following the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the first philosophical section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, speaks about the gurus and emphasizes the role of the guru in giving spiritual knowledge. So there are three kinds of, well, there may be many kinds of gurus. Srila Prabhupada, he emphasized three kinds of spiritual gurus. One is the Vartma Pradarshak guru, one who just gives the idea, you should worship Krishna. May not give extensive instructions, but recommends to someone, you should worship Krishna. Those who systematically instruct one in spiritual knowledge, they're called Shiksha Gurus. In this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, emphasis is given on the Shiksha Guru. The Diksha Guru is called here the Mantra Guru. But as Srila Prabhupada writes, generally the guru from one whom accepts shiksha on a regular basis, such a person will become one's diksha guru. One will initiate one formally into spiritual life, into Krishna consciousness. The emphasis is on shiksha. It's not just that by taking initiation that all your work is done. Initiation is the term that Srila Prabhupada used to translate the word diksha, which is defined divyam jnanam yato dadyat kuryat papasya sangshayam tato diksha vidhanena deshikais tatva kovidai. This verse, which is quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha, says that initiation, according to the learned, initiation is the process by which spiritual knowledge is given and one's previous sinful reactions are completely destroyed. Initiation includes within it the understanding that there is an ongoing relationship of instruction. Guru is a teacher. but more, much more than a teacher as we think of nowadays of a teacher in the school. It's a much more intimate relationship. So the initiation is given and instruction is given. It's not that initiation is just some, it's a, that term is a shaktipat, the idea that some energy or some current enters the body of the disciple and he becomes energized and that's it. Srila Prabhupada ridiculed such ideas, just like one became famous or infamous from the Vaishnava standpoint. Later was to become a Swami who spoke in some so-called Parliament of Religions in America in the 19th century. So he related that when he got initiation from his guru, a current, like an electric current, flowed into his body and then he passed out from the electric shock. And when he woke up, he saw his guru crying and he asked his guru, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Because I gave everything I had to you. Now I have nothing left," which is nonsense. Because one reason it's nonsense is because if you give spiritual knowledge, it's not that you lose it. Even if you give material knowledge, you don't lose it. So Srila Prabhupada ridiculed this pseudo-mystical idea of the guru being like a magician who just injects some electrical current and then you get spiritual knowledge. The actual process for getting spiritual knowledge is described by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. One should approach a person who is in knowledge of spiritual reality, which includes material reality, very submissively, bowing down to such a person, serving such a person, making relevant inquiries from such persons, and being initiated by such persons. So it's all a very, it's a quantifiable process. It's not, it's something that can be done by anyone. There's no magic floating in the air, vanishing tricks, no such thing. It's straightforward. Although it's sublime, it's straightforward. So, Srila Prabhupada, when he talks about parampara, he talks about transmitting the transcendental sound vibration, but the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name and of knowledge connected with the holy name of Krishna and Gita, Bhagavatam, all these. It's not simply the ceremony of initiation. Sometimes it's called a formality, this ceremony. It's a formality, but it's a necessary formality because it is the necessary giving of vows. That actually the essence of initiation is that one surrenders one's life to Krishna. Dikka kale bhakta kare atma samarpan. That is the meaning of initiation. That one formally vows that this life and all future lives, they are meant for Krishna. I am meant for Krishna, not for anything else. I may have so many other things going on in my life, but the actual purpose of my life is to serve Krishna. And that is being done under the guidance of a devotee of Krishna. Why do we require to take this knowledge from a guru? Why don't we just read books? Well, we are limited in our ability to, we're limited in so many ways for understanding. Reading books is important. Srila Prabhupada put much emphasis on his books. But we need some help also. In any practical subject, we need help. There are books. learn this and that by yourself. But actually, we can progress much better with help. And in some subjects, we really can't become qualified without help. For instance, if someone is to have open heart bypass surgery, and you're told it's going to cost you $100,000, if you're in America, it would cost you, I'm not sure how much, probably at least that much. And someone else comes along and says, I'll do it for $10,000. Yeah, okay, good, it's cheaper. You are a qualified doctor. Yeah, I read all the books. I read how to do it, all the books. So apart from being illegal, you'd probably want to spend the extra $90,000 and have it done by a certified professional. I mean, woodwork, you can't learn it just by reading a book. You have books like Teach Yourself German or something like that. But you'd do much better to speak, to have someone guiding you, because you wouldn't even get the pronunciation right. Russian, teach yourself Russian. We have Russians here, but you can't learn Russian from a book. Yeah? Many of the sounds are quite different to those in English. So you have to learn it from a person who knows. That's practical. Particularly because Krishna makes, I'm saying this for any practical knowledge, but particularly because Krishna has given that system, that you have to go through a guru to have knowledge of Krishna and experience of Krishna. It's not only through one's own effort. One has to get the mercy of a guru. That's the system that Krishna gave. Srila Prabhupada states, 5,000 years ago, Lord Sri Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita and Vyasadeva recorded it. Srila Vyasadeva did not say, this is my opinion. Rather, he wrote, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. That is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, whatever Vyasadeva wrote was originally spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, Srila Vyasadeva is a guru. He does not interpret the words of Krishna, but transmits them exactly as they were spoken. So this is the qualification to be such a teacher. He transmits the words of Krishna without interpreting them exactly as they were spoken in the discipline. This knowledge is received in the disciplic succession, and one becomes an authorized representative by oneself, being trained by a guru in that disciplic succession, and then faithfully, without alteration, imparting that knowledge. So there's a lot of knowledge. There are many books like this. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, now I believe it's published in seven volumes. Originally it was 17. They're all about this big. Srimad Bhagavatam is bigger still. And the other primary books are Bhagavad Gita as it is, which is also as big as this, and the Nectar of Devotion, which is, and there are many other books also. So there is a lot of knowledge, and it's not that every devotee has to be extremely learned, and in one sense even a guru may not be extremely learned, but in general that is stressed, that for teaching the science of Krishna, one should be sufficiently learned to do so. So those who are gurus, they have to, generally, it's understood that they will be trained in the guru kul. They will become proficient in the knowledge and able to present it so that when devotees have doubts, they can resolve those doubts. We see that Srila Prabhupada would often ask his devotees questions to see if they were able to, questions that Srila Prabhupada clearly knew the answer to himself, but to see if the disciples had absorbed the knowledge, not simply in a bookish way. We can study Shastra in a similar manner to that of a school course. Bhakti, we can have a Bhakti Shastri course, Bhakti Shastra course, and study, but The real test is in various situations when people ask various questions from different angles and there may be different challenges, if we're able to answer on the basis of Shastra. So one should be, guru should, ideally should be learned in Shastra and able to impart that knowledge. There's no material consideration, in as much as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nicha jati nahe Krishna bhajane ajoga, shatku bipra nahe bhajane yoga. Je bhaje shei boro abhakta hinocha, Krishna bhajane nahik jat kuladi bicha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that in the matter of Krishna consciousness, there is no consideration of high caste, low caste, any such thing. Sometimes Indian people, not so much nowadays, but a generation ago, Indian people were often surprised and sometimes disturbed that people from the Western countries were giving initiation. Because they thought, well, only a Brahmin can give initiation. Yes, but you, being a Brahmin also doesn't require birth, it requires qualities. There are many people born in Brahmin families who are engaged as Shudras. They're employees. Anyone who is an employee is by definition a Shudra. And there are many people who are coming from backgrounds outside of what is called the Hindu tradition who are living lives as brahmanas, fully absorbed in spiritual activities, very pure lives. So the real qualification for a guru, as is said in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, kiba bipra kiba nyasi shudra kene noi jai krishna tatva veta she guru hoi. Whether one is born as a vipra, that means vaishya, kshatriya, or usually brahmana is considered to be the guru, whether one is a sannyasi or whatever one may be, if one knows the science of Krishna, if one has knowledge of Krishna, he can become a guru. Or succinctly, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, jaha hoite Krishna bhakti shei guru hoi. From whom one receives Krishna bhakti, that person is a guru. So there's no such consideration in the matter of who is a guru. Although, anyway, I won't get into that now. So, actually, all devotees are gurus in the sense that anyone who's practicing Krishna consciousness is in a position to instruct others who are not in Krishna consciousness. Anyone who gives, specifically one who teaches Krishna consciousness, acts as a guru. It's not that one exactly is appointed as a guru. If one is giving knowledge, then he is a guru. However, we have to see the Vatma Pradashak guru, the one who gives just some idea, yes, you should worship Krishna. There's no real commitment to, or that people don't consider themselves a disciple as such. Just like Suniti, the mother of Dhruva, she told him, you'd better worship Vishnu. But she was considered the Vartma Pradarshak, or the path showing guru, but her role in relation to Dhruva was not to systematically instruct him in Krishna consciousness, nor was she considered on the level of a guru as was Narada, who later gave instruction to Dhruva. So anyone who gives instruction may be considered a guru or is a guru, but there are levels. The Shiksha guru, who systematically instructs one regarding the teachings, of Krishna consciousness and how to practice Krishna consciousness. They may do so in a general way, but if one does specifically in relationship to one person, then they may be considered as a shiksha guru, just like here in Ireland. Well, the picture of Tribhuvanath Prabhu, usually there, got moved here just now. Many devotees, they look up to Tribhuvanath Prabhu, who has now passed away, who did not give initiation, but he instructed in his own particular style. He wasn't so much, he wasn't a formal person at all, but he guided many devotees in their spiritual life and inspired them, and many devotees consider him as their shiksha guru. But the diksha guru is supposed to take responsibility for guiding the disciple back to Godhead. This is where, or one of the reasons why we have a deep disagreement with those persons who advocate the Ritvik system of initiation, which was first imagined some years after Srila Prabhupada passed away. It was not imagined particularly through a study of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, but it was imagined not from any positive impetus, but from the failings of those who had taken several of those who had taken the role of Diksha Gurus. It grew out of the negativity of seeing several of those who had taken the roles of Diksha Gurus fail to execute that role in a proper manner. So the idea of the Ritvik is that, well, you just initiate on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, and then everyone becomes a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Now, there are many problems with this. One of them is that any guru, like myself now, will initiate. They won't say, I am initiating you, and by my mercy, you will go back to Godhead. We just read Srila Prabhupada quoting that a guru doesn't say that I am giving you mercy, I am God, but rather he says, I'm transmitting the mercy of God. So every guru in that sense thinks of himself as a representative of his guru. He thinks, I am giving you what my guru has given. I have nothing of my own. So in that sense, every guru, if he thinks differently, then he's not a guru. So every guru will think like that if he's actually a guru. But the difference between the gurus who actually initiate and those who, and the difference between them and the Ritviks is, the Ritvik, he does the ceremony and he has nothing more to do. He has no more commitment. Whereas the gurus who do give initiation, they have a commitment to help their disciple. It's an ongoing responsibility. Whereas the Ritvik, or the one who says, I'm just a priest, he has no responsibility. Sometimes people think that being a guru, it's wonderful. You go here and there and people praise you and they give you money and they say jai to you. Well, that's true, but you also get all the problems that they experience and that they cause. You also have to deal with that, so we may say, well, it's not so relishable. But actually, whether it's nice to be a guru or not nice, that's not the question. It's a service that has to be executed. The guru thinks of himself as anything but a servant, then he's certainly not a guru. If he thinks, I am the enjoyer of the facilities offered by my disciples, then he's not fit to be a guru. He has to take responsibility to deliver them back to Godhead. As Srila Prabhupada writes in a purport in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many spiritual masters, but Rishabhdev advises that one should not become a spiritual master if he is unable to save his disciple from the path of birth and death. Unless one is a pure devotee of Krishna, he cannot save himself from the path of repeated birth and death. So there you are. Anyone who takes the role of a guru is round in a roundabout way saying, I'm a pure devotee. So, what are we to do with this? But anyone who says, I'm a pure devotee, is not a pure devotee. So now we're caught. Well, how do you get out of this? Well, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that anyone who says, I am a guru, he ceases to be a Vaishnava. Because a Vaishnava always thinks, I'm a servant. However, as a servant, the disciple has the responsibility to follow the order of his guru. And the order of the guru transmitted in disciplic succession from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Jare Deko Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amaragyai Guru Hoyataro Edesh. The order is that one should preach Krishna consciousness, become a guru, and save this world. And in the purport, which Srila Prabhupada translates from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he clarifies that here the term guru applies to Varma Pradasha Guru, Shiksha Guru, and Diksha Guru. So one should initiate and at the same time think, I'm not qualified to do this, but I'm doing on the order of my guru. And you should be willing to take that responsibility to deliver the disciple from the path of birth and death. As Srila Prabhupada stated, even to return to the material world to deliver a sincere disciple, if necessary. Generally, the sincere disciple does go back to Godhead, but the guru, from his side, his contract is that if necessary, I have to come back. It's something like DHL saying that giving the power of attorney to their workers, that we have the commitment to deliver this within a parcel within a specified time. So if necessary to be within that specified time, you can hire a helicopter to deliver one envelope, if necessary. So it's not expected that the guru will come back. The sincere disciple should go back to Godhead in this life. But if necessary, the guru should be prepared to do that. That's a heavy commitment. Guru is heavy, is not just in barking out orders, or not just in being heavy with spiritual knowledge, and it's sometimes misunderstood that a guru is heavy. In Bengal, it's often thought that if someone has a very big fat body, that's a sign of a guru. But it's a heavy commitment. It's a very heavy commitment. The idea is, I guess, that the guru goes here and there and people feed him and he becomes fat. But that's not the principle qualification of a guru, or actually even any qualification. So it's a heavy commitment. That generally, that as recommended in Shastra, that is not entered into very quickly. Although it's stated that in one place in Shastra, it's stated that if you find a guru, take initiation. If you get the chance, do it. But elsewhere it's stated, well, take a little time. Take a little time, because you should see that the guru is actually bona fide. Not just that you're carried away in some euphoria, some sadhu comes, everyone saying, Jai, Hari Bol, how wonderful. And then, oh yeah, I should also take initiation, without really thinking about it. One should see if the guru actually lives up to the euphoria around him, or actually if there is euphoria, maybe you should be somewhat cautious. Because The euphoria may just be some razzmatazz, but with nothing to back it up. And the disciple should see if he's ready to accept the commitment also. And the guru should see if the disciple is ready to accept the commitment. Therefore, there should be a testing period, Shastra says, of 1 year. Srila Prabhupada himself took 11 years before he took initiation. Generally, shouldn't be so long, because life is short and we don't know how long we're going to live for, and we have much to learn. But there should be some testing to see. It's a very grave commitment. It is a commitment. It's not that, well, let's just try it out. Oh, okay, I think I'll try and, yeah, I'll be initiated and let's see how it goes. It's not like that. One has to be prepared to follow the order of the spiritual master. To execute such a role, Srila Prabhupada writes that any devotee can initiate, an Uttama Adhikari, one on the topmost level, Madhyama Adhikari, one on the middle level, and one on the Kanishta, or the neophyte level. But Srila Prabhupada recommends, as Shastra recommends, that an Uttama Adhikari, one on the topmost platform of devotional service, initiate. The more general definition is that anyone who transmits spiritual knowledge on the basis of scripture is a guru, but Srila Prabhupada writes that one who is not on the highest platform cannot effectively lead their disciples toward the ultimate goal of life. What is the definition of an Uttamadhikari? Well, there are various definitions. The definition of a Mahabhagavat, or the Uttam Bhagavat, is given in Srimad Bhagavatam as Sarva Bhuteshu Yah Pashyat Bhagavat Bhavam Atmanaha Pashyanti Bhagavat Yatmanam Esha Bhagavatottama. The Uttama Bhagavat, the topmost Bhagavat, topmost devotee, is one who is fully absorbed in Krishna, fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, who sees all living beings as being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. There's a technical problem with that, is that such devotees, they don't initiate. Because they think everyone's a devotee. So those who are on the Madhyam platform, they preach, because they make distinctions. The devotee on the topmost platform sees all as great devotees. But on the Madhyam platform, you could say it's, in terms of this world, a more realistic platform. And he sees, Ishvare tad adhineshu balisheshu dvishatshu cha prema maitri kripo peksha yakaroti samadhyama. A devotee on the middle level sees there is God and he offers his love to him. He sees there are devotees, and he befriends them. He sees there are non-devotees who are foolish, not very demoniac, ignorant, and he gives his mercy to them. He preaches, and he sees that there are envious rascals, and he avoids them. So generally the Madhyam Adhikaris, they initiate, or Uttam Adhikari, who's acting on the Madhyam platform. Srila Prabhupada, while warning, in the same purport in which he advises that one should accept initiation from Uttam Adhikari, topmost Vaishnava, he gives this definition of a topmost devotee as follows. Srila Prabhupada writes, when a person realizes himself to be an eternal servant of Krishna, he loses interest in everything but Krishna's service. Always thinking of Krishna, devising means by which to spread the holy name of Krishna, he understands that his only business is in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Such a person is to be recognized as an Uttam Adhikari, and his association should be immediately accepted according to the six processes, Dadati, Pratigrihnati, etc. Indeed, the advanced Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava devotee should be accepted as a spiritual master. Everything one possesses should be offered to him, for it is enjoined that one should deliver whatever he has to the spiritual master. The brahmachari in particular is supposed to beg alms from others and offer them to the spiritual master. However, one should not imitate the behavior of an advanced devotee or Mahabhagavata without being self-realized, for by such imitation one will eventually become degraded, as we have seen in the history of our movement. Elsewhere, both in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, Adi Lila chapter 7 text 51, and in Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto chapter 22 text 16 purport, Srila Prabhupada states that Uttama Adhikari Vaishnavas can be recognized by their ability to convert many fallen conditioned souls to Krishna consciousness. I'm going to take a break here. Please chant Hare Krishna for a few minutes, or take a break also, and I'll be back in 5 minutes. I'm probably going to be another hour before you speak. We have time.